Welcome to another episode of Optimum 7 Surge Sessions, our weekly e-commerce, digital marketing, and technology podcast.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about marketplaces and the issue with marketplaces. Obviously, the benefit of a marketplace is that you can list your product and you can start selling right away, right? The largest marketplace, Amazon, and then I think you have Walmart. I've heard that Home Depot has a good marketplace that sells. I think Sears just recently stopped paying their sellers, so they're in the verge of bankruptcy, so scratch Sears. And then you have Jet.com, and you have a couple of other smaller ones. You have Etsy for handmade stuff. So these marketplaces are a good option for you to start making some money, a few thousand dollars here and there. But very few percentage is able to increase their revenue to $100,000, $200,000. I mean, we have clients who sell $1 million a month on Amazon, right? And there's a lot of conversation going on online, on Amazon forums, on marketplace forums, what's the best way to sell your product, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys think? You think marketplaces or Amazon is good for sellers? And when is it good for sellers?
This goes back to what we were talking about. You know, if you're a brand or if you can get a way to have your own brand, you know, and not, then you might be able to compete on those marketplaces. But now they're so competitive that you have to, if we're talking about a new business here, then you have to really focus on what niche you're targeting. Because you're going to piggyback on other listings, your chance of getting the buy box is very slim.
So if you're selling somebody else's product, and if you don't have your own brand or if you don't manufacture your own brand, you're kind of screwed?
Well, you're just pretty much limiting yourself. You're not really giving yourself a fighting chance.
Understood. And why is that?
Well, because, you know, basically you're trying to piggyback off of their existing ASIN. You know, they've already have the buy box, and now you're going to try to come
in. Let's describe that to viewers who might not know what it is. ASIN is basically what Amazon calls a specific listing. When I list this product, this will have an ASIN. And the way this is determined are through a MPN number, a manufacturer's part number, or UPC number. And brands, for example, this keyboard is from Mac and it has a specific UPC number. So when you list this on Amazon, you can't go relist it because it has only one UPC number. Okay? This model of keyboard. So once somebody lists an item, you can't relist it. It's not like eBay. You have to listed on the same listing, on the same ASIN, right? And that's ASIN. Those are the identifiers or the unique identifiers, SKUs that Amazon uses. So what happens is if I have somehow 1,000 of these, I have to sell this on Amazon. But I can't really list it on Amazon. If Amazon is already selling it, I will never get the buy box. And the buy box is when you go to Amazon and you see a listing and it says add to cart, that's what a buy box is.
Correct.
So Amazon created this marketplace for sellers, right? But at the same time, Amazon is competing with the sellers that's competing with its own partners. An example of this is Amazon, you know, there are a lot of people selling cables on Amazon.
Amazon Basics.
Amazon came up with Amazon Basics, and that business completely shuttered because now Amazon invades top searches for iPhone cable, Android cable, et cetera, et cetera, and they sell their own products. So question is, and a lot of the viewers will agree with this, is how am I a partner on Amazon selling on Amazon if Amazon is competing with me? Because Amazon has all the data. I might manufacture this wallet and it becomes an incredible wallet. Who is to say Amazon is not going to get into the wallet business and start creating its own wallets because they see the volume in these wallets? So a lot of sellers are scared of this because of this reason, because Amazon controls the top search results of their own algorithm, right? What do you guys think about that? Is that even fair? Or does it even matter?
I mean, I think it depends on the type of product. Obviously, you know, Amazon being its own brand name, You know, they're still, if you think about it from this standpoint of a Whole Foods or any grocery store that you may go to, that grocery store has their own products that are competing with the same products that are on their shelves. But at the end of the day, as consumers, we still like the brand names that we're used to. We still like new brands that might come out. So as far as fairness, I mean, I think, you know, it's fair to a certain extent, but it really depends on the product. If it's, like you said, a charger cable, that you can care less what the brand is, right? You're going to go after the lowest cost, and that would be Amazon.
And if it's the brand is Amazon Basics, you know, you're going to buy the Amazon product
instead of and that's what's most likely going to have the lowest price, have the buy box, and, you know, so that's pretty much...
Understood. You know. So from Amazon's standpoint, obviously, hey, if you're going to come sell on my platform, agree to all these terms, and guess what? You got to do what I tell you to do, and I might compete with you later on, right? It's Amazon. You're listing on their platform, so you're going to pay, and you're going to take that risk, okay? From a seller's standpoint, it's like Amazon. How the hell are you going to compete with me if we are partners and if I'm selling on your platform and you're not providing any value? As a seller, what you can do is you need to diversify. Now, I've had at least 3-4 conversations in the past week of multiple issues with Amazon. People having brand issues on Amazon. They cannot get their ASINs gated, so other third parties are selling there and messing up the reviews and the sales. Amazon doesn't care. I have had friends and clients of mine get blocked by Amazon because they were selling other brands. They were selling big numbers, like $250,000 a month. And Amazon said, you can't sell this anymore because we're going to go directly to the manufacturer. Now, that happens if Amazon sees the volume. Why would Amazon let you sell somebody else's product? They go to the manufacturer directly, okay? Another issue that we're having is the refund disaster with Amazon. Amazon, I mean, you could be selling underwear on Amazon and people can buy that underwear, try it on, and return the underwear. It's unheard of. What if I'm selling an underwear, if I'm in the underwear brand, what am I going to do with return underwear? So it's completely geared towards buyers and Amazon profits. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't think Amazon really cares about sellers because there are so many sellers on Amazon. Amazon, I believe, is building an algorithm to only favor those ones who are large sellers on Amazon because they realize that the small sellers are not going to make money for Amazon. Do you guys agree with that? I mean, that Amazon is favoring big sellers.
I think we are noticing that Amazon is favoring big sellers. They don't. I wouldn't say they're necessarily intentionally making it hard for small sellers. They just don't really care about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, inevitably, they get shunned down.
What do you think, Joe?
Thrown to the backseat.
Talk to me about the review paradox, because you mentioned that before. What is a review paradox?
So the review paradox is basically the more reviews, the higher your product's going to rank, the more visibility you're going to get.
And the better your reviews.
And the better, and of course, the better your reviews are as well. So like you said before, there's issues where if I cannot get my ASIN gated, all of a sudden there's another seller selling the same product. Now my reviews are going to go down. Amazon doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's affecting my business. Someone else is, you know, damaging my reputation. Amazon doesn't really care. Another thing, Amazon jumps in. You know, their products get more reviews. They're going to, you know, pretty much.
Or any big seller.
Yeah.
So the most essential thing that I'm seeing, and again, we have our own Amazon operations as well. I mean, Optimum 7, of course, we consult, but we also have our own Amazon operations, our own e-commerce operations. So we're not just talking as consultants here. We're also talking as e-commerce owners. If there are two phones I'm selling, right, or I'm selling this and somebody else is selling this, I get into the market. It's the same quality product. I get into the market. I have only 10 reviews, but this phone already has 2,000 reviews. There is no way I can compete with that because they're making more sale. The velocity of new reviews for them, the graph goes like this. And I just started selling. So if I sell five, maybe I'll get, if I sell 20, maybe I'll get one review. So I'm really going slowly. How do I ever catch up to this guy? And that's where Amazon is incredibly smart, because they have a paid search platform. They're like, if you want to catch up to that guy, pay me money. I'll show you up top. You'll get more orders and you'll get more reviews, because you have to sell to get reviews. And then you can catch up to this guy. And the only people who can do that are people with money, big brands.
Yeah.
So what do the small to medium sized sellers do? How do they compete?
I mean, I don't know at that, you know, with that being said, how do you ever compete on Amazon if you don't have the budget to use their Amazon marketing service, which I believe they just rebranded and it's called something else now?
Advertising.
Advertising.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
It was AMS.Amazon, yeah. Now it's advertising.
Yeah. So.
And there's a reason they did that, because they are making so much money.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know brands who have $1 million who are not, it's okay for them not to make money in the next 12 months.
But then, and the other thing is, in order to actually use that service, it has to be your brand.
Correct.
You cannot piggyback off of other ASINs. They have to be, you know, they have to be your product.
Yeah.
So now you're limiting those other small businesses that, you know, are getting these products from suppliers and reselling. Now I can't utilize that tool to bring myself up, you know, and catch up on a review standpoint and a sales standpoint.
Yeah.
So they're really limiting, you know, a large portion of sellers. But, you know, going back to the reviews, I mean, we've seen this trend of, you know, the reviews and how it affects not only your sales, but just your visibility altogether. Not just on Amazon, but now Google Shopping and the weight of reviews have definitely increased over time.
And on Amazon, nowadays, this seems to be the case. Not only on Amazon, not on a product, but also on Netflix, when the movie comes out, you don't have okay movies anymore. You don't have okay products anymore. It's either terrible or it's great. It's either like 2 stars or it's 4.5 stars out of 5, right? So what I want to do is I want to recap this and I want to talk about the answer of how sellers or how businesses deal with the Amazon issue. So here are the issues with Amazon. Review velocity or the review paradox. You're going to have incredible issues if you're introducing a product for the first time. You're going to spend so much money on paid ads on Amazon to catch up to the big sellers and also catch up to Amazon's own products, like the Amazon Basics is for cables. There is, I think, Pinzon for apparel and throw blankets and etc. And they have different brands too. You have brand issues, brand gating issues. You have another issue where people on eBay or everywhere else buy and sell your products without you knowing. So they'll buy it at $30. They'll sell it at $50 on eBay. They'll sell it. Somebody gets it. And they're like, oh, this shipped from Amazon. I bought it from eBay and I bought it at $50, but it's $30 on Amazon. So they just refund it. So if you're selling and you're getting these refunds and you don't understand you have a great product, guess what? Check your brand names on eBay and all the other platforms, because somebody's dropshipping without you knowing it. That's a problem that Amazon cannot do anything about. The refund disaster, Amazon doesn't care about, correct? Because anything you can refund to Amazon, and people buy and refund stuff all the time. And if you have high refund rates, by the way, Amazon might block your account, or they will block that listing. All right. So these are all the issues. Why the hell would I sell on Amazon? If I can't sell on Amazon, what can I do? Now, 5-6 years ago, we said something, and that was be the brand. Okay. Stop reselling other people's products. Be the brand. Go to China, go to Pakistan, go to Turkey, go to Latin America, manufacture your own products, be the brand. If you're buying it from here, buy it, repackage it, and be the brand. That still remains today. You have to be the brand. If you are not the brand, if you're reselling other people's products under their brand name, your business is not going to last, because it's very competitive now. If you are already the brand, the next suggestion for us, from us to you, is diversify. Here is diversification. Get a very powerful website. Okay? It should be on Shopify, BigCommerce, or a strong platform. Nothing on WooCommerce. I would not recommend Magento. List the products, optimize it for Google, work with an SEO company or a marketer to optimize it, get backlinks, get authority, do videos. And on top of that, do a shopping comparison. which is shopping.com, pricegrabber.com, bizrate.com. Get a tool like Yotpo or
Shopper approved.
Another thing, the next thing that you definitely need to do is learn Facebook. Learn social media. There are a lot of conversions on social media, a lot of business on Facebook. Learn how to do Facebook advertisement and push these sales through your website. And very, very important, sign up for something like Commission Junction or Share a Sale if you have a good product, if you can allocate percentages for affiliate marketing, create affiliate marketing. So here's the structure that I like. 50%, 40% of your volume or your sales need to be coming from Google Organic. 10, 15, 20% should be coming from affiliate. 10, 15, 20% should be coming from shopping comparison sites or relationships that you have built. And the rest of it needs to be email marketing that you do to your own customers. So keep hitting them with jerk marketing strategies. Keep hitting your existing customers with specials. And this should be the structure. We'll recap this. Diversification is now very important.
Yeah.
Anything you guys want to add to that?
No.
No? That's it?
That's it.
All right. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Optimum 7 Surge Sessions. Do you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to cover? Or simply have a question about one of the topics we have previously covered? Send us an email to info@optimum7.com or visit our website, www.optimum7.com.